Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 9th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, some federal lawmakers want a windfall profits tax on big oil, but others say that's not the answer to the high price of the pump. Secretary Johann says Illinois is and will continue to be a significant player in the ethanol marketplace. And this Thursday is Ethanol Day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, home to the Indy 500. By the way, Thursday you can get in the gates for just $5. The car should be on the track from noon to 6. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. A bit later in the program, we'll hear from the statistical offices in the five top corn-producing states in the nation, in order: Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. Throw Nebraska out of that mix and drop Ohio into the number five slot, and you have the five top soybean-producing states in order. Just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast today. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The May wheat at 375.5, up 12 cents today. July futures at 384.75. They were up 9.25. May wheat in Kansas City at $4.63.75, up 6 for the day. Corn pit now in Chicago. May futures 228.5, up a penny and a half. July up 1 at 238. And the September's at 249.25, were up 1.25. December contract at $2.63 a bushel, a penny and 3/4 higher for the day. May soybeans 592.5, up 6.5 cents. July at 604.5, up a nickel. August contract at 610.25, they were up 5.25. And the November beans at 623.75 were up 6 cents. May bean meal futures, 179.50. They were up 3. May bean oil at 24.70, up 17. And the feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange were off 47.5 cents in the nearby May contract at $100.32.5. June live cattle at 74.87.5 were down 52.5. And the May lean hogs at $67.50 were up 62.5 for the day. The outside market, some real action happening here in the gold at $679 for the day. They were up 120. The June contract at $702, where all the trade was taking place, $22.10 higher for the day. Crude oil at $70.70 a barrel, up 93. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,623, up 38 at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Todd.
Oh, let's talk about the Indy 500 instead of the wheat pit. What do you say?
Well, I think that'd be a lot more fun. Danica Patrick is sure a cutie over there, and we'd love to talk about her anytime.
Yeah, well, let's talk about wheat anyway, because this is just a strange day in that pit, and I don't know whether we can throw gold into that mix in the process, but anytime Chicago's up 12 cents on a good day and Kansas City is up 6, and I had just gone back and had Dave Dickey pull the supply and demand reports because I wanted to see something, and I was fairly certain that this was right. I was looking at maybe feed usage and that maybe you could swap these two out. That's not the case, and you reminded me before we went on the air that corn was too cheap compared to wheat anyway to make that kind of assumption. So what else might be happening in that marketplace?
Well, Todd, our estimation, or guesstimation, I guess, is better that, you know, we've had a lot of people have been spreading the wheat, buying the Kansas City, selling the Chicago because of, you know, the differential. The hard red is tight, that the hard red crop is in trouble, and the soft red crop's looking darn good. And, you know, that, you know, the Kansas City has been gaining on that. And our estimation or guesstimation is that there was probably some unwinding of some spreads today, people taking profits on those spreads that they had on. Also, I mean, as we look at things, of course, the gold, the crude, everything affected all of the markets or the commodities that way. We went back to the inflation scare here again today that way. And, you know, like I said, it could have been just a little more short covering of people that were short maybe some Chicago wheat today, just go ahead and getting out here before the reports on Friday and just feeling that the wheat in general is just stronger and lagging back. But, boy, we're looking at some tremendously good prices for wheat here. Down the road for any of the people that have soft red planted.
Well, I was thinking that. Do you look at this price in the soft red winter wheat and go, yeah, maybe this is a good time on the new crop to make some additional sales, or are you going to wait this out?
You know, that's a hard one to say. Because we look at this, and there definitely is the potential, along with the inflation factor and the if we continue to be drawn by the Kansas City market, for this to move on up a little bit. Some of the chart watchers are talking about an explosion in the wheat pit and going up that way. So I do have to question a little bit, but I guess I don't see anything wrong with continuing to scale in sales if you feel you've got a good wheat crop out there. We're even, you know, looking more as we look at this. We got to 441 on July for next year with the consideration of possibly wanting to plant wheat for this fall.
You know, I was looking now since May 12th, this Friday, the USDA crop production numbers are coming out. And looking at the average trade guesses and a reminder of what USDA's 2005 wheat's production looked like for the soft red winter wheat at 309, the average trade estimate for this year at 359. So it looks like there's an awfully good soft red winter wheat crop out there at this point, and nothing
and
says
we
there's
haven't
not.
Seen the conditions haven't been bad in the areas where the soft red has grown. Todd, they're actually in fairly decent shape. I mean, nothing like the problems we saw out west with the hard red wheat crop. So, you know, we should have a very good crop coming on. You know, we're continuing to see. I think India is supposed to be in for 3 million metric ton wheat tender here that opened today, but it looks like. You know, in Argentina, the wheat plantings look to be up 15% of what they're going to be planting. It looks like Australia is way under the U.S. price for wheat. We won't get hardly any of that India tender, probably. But so we're on top of the world as far as prices go now. You know, it does seem hard to stay in the market and export a lot if you're the highest price grocery store out there.
Well, we better hit the corn and the beans before we let you go. Beans gapped higher, stayed higher all day, but technically, I suppose, they finished on the bottom end of their range. Corn filling the gap from yesterday, too, when they dropped that down.
Yeah, you know, gold, silver, crude oil, all of it there. The letter from the Iranian president that, when exposed, basically wasn't a gesture saying, we're sorry, we'd like to make up and be friends. It was more of a up yours type letter, and that caused a lot more feelings of unrest as to what can happen as far as that took the gold and silver extremely higher, and of course the inflation factor in the index funds and all the other funds and stops being hit this morning. We were a little surprised at how things sold off at the end, but they were way too strong out of the box and through the majority of the day-to-day. So, you know, we are looking at value. We are looking at the report on Friday. And in everything we look at and say, basically, except for the problems in South America, that the Brazilian basis being extremely high for this time of year, Argentine basis is cheaper, and we're seeing a lot of beans switched to there. Talk that China did talk and inquire about some June-July shipments. So that's what helped the beans out.
We appreciate you being with us today, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
It should be a fun week. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
We'll take a complete look at the ag weather at the bottom of the hour with Don Day. For tonight, by the way, some thunderstorms across Illinois. A chance for a thunderstorm or Indiana as well. Lows in the upper 50s.
In agricultural news, U.S. and Japanese officials say the two nations could meet as soon as next week to discuss a lifting of Tokyo's ban on U.S. beef. The U.S. is expected to send a technical team to Japan to reveal inspection results on U.S. slaughter facilities. Japan banned U.S. beef in January after a shipment was found to contain illegal bone material. Japanese newspapers are reporting that if Japan finds no major problems in the U.S. report, it likely will hold more public hearings with consumers about U.S. beef. Some federal lawmakers have suggested implementing a windfall profits tax on oil companies as a way to give their constituents relief from high gas prices. At least one Illinois congressman says that idea is self-defeating. Amanda Vinicky reports.
As drivers are opening their pocketbooks to pay around $3 a gallon for gas, oil companies are making hefty profits. Some politicians want to tax the company's windfall as a way to drive down prices. Republican John Shimkus of Collinsville disagrees. He says when companies make big profits, they make big investments, like developing alternative fuels or to build needed oil refineries.
I'm not one that says you want to beat up on people who have taken a risk, put money down, and then they reap the benefits of their ability to take a risk. And I want to make sure that we don't send a signal to people who we want to do this exploration. Don't do it because, we're gonna seize your profits.
Shimkus says he expects the U.S. House to address gasoline issues this week, including giving federal agencies the authority to check for price gouging. He also says Congress may again debate drilling for oil in an Alaskan wildlife refuge. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
USDA Secretary Mike Johanns was in Chicago yesterday trumpeting the virtues of ethanol. Speaking before the Chicago Council on Foreign Relations, Johanns said Illinois is well matched to meet national ethanol demands.
I would think that this state would be uniquely situated because you grow the product and you grow it very well. Your farmers are very efficient. They're very productive. All of those things tell me that you will be a significant player in ethanol.
Johanns isn't the only cabinet-level official playing up ethanol this week. Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman will be at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Thursday for Ethanol Day. For the first time since 1928, some Indy cars will run on an ethanol blend. A blend of 10% ethanol fuel and 90% methanol will power the Honda engines. And in 2007, all of the machines in the 91st Indy 500 will run 100% fuel-grade ethanol. In Chicago, Johanns also spoke out against the $4 billion ag disaster aid package approved last week by the Senate. Johanns says it's unfair that the package contains increased direct payments only to program crop producers to offset higher energy costs.
60% of U.S. farmers are not a part of this program.
Johanns also argued that ad hoc disaster aid is too unpredictable to be helpful. The Wall Street Journal on Monday editorialized in favor of the government suspending current tariffs on imported ethanol. The editorial also focused on the federal subsidies that support ethanol production. It observed that, and this is a direct quote, big oil companies are being pillared for their profits, but domestic ethanol producers get a pass. Former Agriculture Secretary Dan Glickman on Monday called for a dramatic transformation of U.S. farm programs. At a news conference sponsored by the American Farmland Trust, he endorsed a proposal that would end countercyclical payments and use the money for an integrated farm revenue program composed of green payments that would go to all types of farmers who engage in sound conservation practices. Glickman says a U.S. safety net needs to be WTO compliant, as well as is a matter of great importance.
I do believe that if we don't act to reform agricultural programs, the economy will suffer, particularly the agricultural economy.
Direct payments, of which there are about $5 billion worth annually, would be phased out under the AFT plan. The safety net pillar would also replace the LDP, countercyclical payments, and ad hoc disaster aid with a whole farm revenue program. The program would divide the risk between the farmer, the government, and private insurers. A new survey from the Oklahoma Feed and Grain Association says that state's wheat crop will be the smallest in almost half a century. The survey indicated Oklahoma producers will bring in 67 million bushels of wheat, which would be the smallest statewide crop since 1957, when 43 million bushels were produced. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Up next, we'll hear from the statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota about crop progress in their areas. USDA released the crop progress report yesterday afternoon, and as you've already heard, it surprised a few in Chicago. Most had been expecting more than 70% of the crop to be in the ground around the nation. Still, that is well ahead of the five-year rolling average of 64%, and that number's bumped up considerably by last year's 75% complete by this date. What they may not have paid as much attention to is the emergence. 25% of the crop is already out of the ground. That's 3 points ahead of last year and the five-year average. Missouri, by the way, leads the crew in the Corn Belt at 93% planted and 75% emerged. Soybean planting, which you might think would be lagging just a bit, really is not. Nationwide, 18% of the crop is in the ground, not enough up yet to report. The 18% is on pace with the five-year average of 19%, but behind last year's 24% sown by this date.
This is Mark Schleusener, Deputy Director with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office. I'm reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 7th. Rains last week replenished soil moisture and aided pasture growth. Most locations around the state received at least 1/2 inch of rain. In southern parts of the state, rainfall totals were generally more than 1 inch, with some locations receiving more than 2 inches of precipitation. As a result, soil moisture conditions are now rated short in only 8% of the state, adequate in 80%, and surplus in 12% of the state. There were only 3.1 days suitable for field work because of the rains last week. Many farmers have finished planting corn and are switching to soybeans as conditions allow. In southern parts of the state, field work was delayed by the rains, and so the state has fallen behind normal progress. As of May 7, 14% of soybean planting was complete, compared to 34% 1 year ago and 22% for the five-year average. 1% of the soybean crop has emerged so far, which compares to 1% last year at this time and 2% for the five-year average. Corn planting reached 85% complete, compared to 92% 1 year ago and 76% for the five-year average. 45% of the corn crop has emerged compared to 49% last year and 41% normally. The wheat crop reached 60% headed, well ahead of last year's 35% and the five-year average of 38%. 3% of the oats crop has headed, the same as last year and just ahead of the five-year average of 2%. Farm activities last week included planting corn and soybeans, spraying herbicides, hauling grain, and tending livestock. This is Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Indiana Agricultural Statistics for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending May 7th. In west central and northern Indiana, planting of corn and soybeans made good progress. In southern Indiana, field work was hindered in some areas by wet field conditions. For the state, corn planting is 3 days behind the average and 6 days behind last year's pace. Topsoil moisture was rated 0% very short, 3% short, 74% adequate, and 23% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 5% short, 76% adequate, and 18% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0.4 to 1.88 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 81 degrees to a low of 35. For the week ending Friday, 3.2 days were rated as suitable for field work. Corn planting made good progress in Indiana, with 52% complete as we ended the week, behind the average of 62% and 72% at this time last year. By regions of the state, 64% of the intended corn acres was planted in northern Indiana, with 44% planted in the central region and 47% planted in southern Indiana. 17% of the planted corn acreage has emerged, compared with 22% last year and 24% for the five-year average. Planting of soybeans for the week made good progress, but remained 5 days behind both the average and last year. 15% of the soybean acreage was planted, compared to 30% for both the average and last year at this time. 88% of the winter wheat acreage is in the jointed stage, compared to 91% last year and 93% for the five-year average. 27% of the winter wheat is headed, compared to 21% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition for the week was rated at 83% good to excellent, compared to 73% last year at this time. Thanks to all the reporters across Indiana who provide this information each week. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS field office.
This is Kay Triplett with the USDA National Agricultural Statistical Service Iowa field office with the weekly crop and weather report for the week ending May 7th. Last week's rains recharged soil moisture and farmers alike. Gentle rains over the past 2 weeks have improved the soil moisture profile with few reports of erosion. Tractors were parked until late in the week while fields dried out, so producers had a much-needed break. There were 2.8 days suitable for field work compared to 5.8 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture rated 2% short, 84% adequate, and 14% surplus across the state. Subsoil moisture rated 2% very short, 16% short, 70% adequate, and 12% surplus. In Iowa, the cool nights brought reports of scattered light frost, but no reports of significant damage. Reporters complained that corn was slow to emerge and yellowed due to the persistent cool, cloudy weather. Field work was slowed by poor drying conditions, especially in the northeast and northwest corners of Iowa. Corn planted reached 81%, 4% lower than last year's 85%, but well above the five-year average of 71%. Statewide, corn emerged, averaged 19%, 6% ahead of last year and 5% ahead of the five-year average. Iowa soybeans planted jumped from 6 to 17% planted this week, behind last year's 23%, but even with the five-year average. This is Kay Triplett from USDA's National Agricultural Statistical Service, Iowa field office.
This is Mark Harris reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather summary for the week ending May 7, 2006. Most of the state remained dry, allowing producers to make significant planting progress. However, cool temperatures and damp soil conditions slowed progress in the south central and southeastern portions of Nebraska. The northwest and the southwest districts remained dry, with only 54 and 31% of normal being reported since April 1. Corn plantings continued to make strong progress and advanced to 67% complete. This is near last year's 68% complete and the average of 60%. Soybean plantings was 9% complete. This is behind last year's 13% complete and average of 11. Wheat conditions rated as 49% good or excellent, with wheat jointed at 64%. Alfalfa conditions rated 75% good or excellent. Oat conditions rated 70% good or excellent. Sorghum planting has gotten underway and is now 2% complete. This is behind last year's 5% planted and average of 4%. Sugar beet plantings was at 89% complete, ahead of last year's 85% and even with the five-year average. Pasture and rain conditions rated 60% good or excellent, ahead of last year's condition. This has been Mark Harris, Director of USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending May 7, 2006. Wet field conditions slowed planting progress across the state as recent soaking rains left most areas muddy and too wet for field work. The number of days suitable for field work activity averaged 1.5 days, down from 5.5 days the previous week. The average temperature for the week was 50.9 degrees, 0.8 degrees below normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday, May 5th, were rated none very short, 1% short, 59% adequate, and 40% surplus. As of Sunday, an estimated 56% of corn acreage was planted, compared to 73% last year and 62% for the five-year average. Green pea plantings was 54% complete, compared to 47% last year and 45% for the five-year average. An estimated 49% of spring wheat acreage was planted, compared to 75% last year and 57% average. Oats planted was 80% complete, compared to 77 last year and 70 for the five-year average. And barley was 52% planted, compared to 70% last year and 51% for the five-year average. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending May 7, 2006. I'm Dan Loftus with the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You're listening to WILL AM 580. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your regional newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Attorney General Lisa Madigan says the governor should sign a bill that would make Illinois the first state to require background checks for nursing home residents. Madigan says the bill would help the state curb attacks on nursing homes rather than just reacting with fines and other sanctions after they occur. Ground was broken today in Urbana for the new Mills Breast Cancer Institute. When it opens in 2 years, the $30 million facility will be devoted to treating patients with breast cancer and conducting research to find a cure for the disease. Carle Hospital, Carle Clinic, and the University of Illinois will work in partnership at the center. Doug Mills and his wife, cancer patient Linda Mills, donated $10 million for the Mills Breast Cancer Institute, which is also funded by a federal grant and private donations. Illinois State Police are investigating a police action shooting in the small eastern Illinois town of Atwood. The town's police chief says a man who was pulled over for a vehicle problem attacked an officer. He says the man was shot in the chest as the two wrestled over the officer's sidearm. The man is hospitalized at Carle Hospital in Urbana. No word on his condition. Atwood Police Chief Michael Keenan is not releasing the names of the injured man or the part-time officer involved. Two church pastors are among 11 people charged with defrauding the Indiana Family and Social Services Administration. Ten of those are charged with stealing more than $62,000 in food stamps and welfare are members of the Greater Faith Missionary Baptist Church in Indianapolis. The four Illinois towns recommended by the governor as possible sites for a new low-pollution coal plant are among 12 sites proposed by the U.S. Secretary of Energy. Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman says Effingham, Marshall, Mattoon, and Tuscola are on the list of candidate sites, along with 8 sites in 6 other states. They're all vying to host the FutureGen plant, a public-private venture that would burn coal and produce hydrogen fuel while creating almost no pollution. The FutureGen Alliance plans to evaluate the 12 sites and present a list of finalists to the Energy Department this summer. I'm Jim Meadows. AM 580 News.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL AM 580 Urbana, a broadcasting service of the College of Communications. Here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joining us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
72 degrees, supposed to get cooler, I think, later in the week. A little rainfall on our way?
Oh, definitely. Cooler and rainy. Good way to describe what's coming here over the next 5 to 10 days. Enjoy these lower 70s. We'll see them last through tomorrow, but beginning Thursday and heading on into the weekend and probably beyond. We may see several days in a row where highs will only make the 50s with frequent opportunities for showers as we'll see a system come out of the west and take its time moving through the Midwest, Corn Belt, and Great Lakes. It'll hang around for 4 to 5 days before finally moving out.
And how much rainfall might we pick up?
Well, right now, of course, amounts are going to vary from location to location, but Illinois, especially central and east central Illinois, right here, we'll have a real good chance of seeing some amounts of moisture. If you average the 5 or 6 days together, put them all together, we'll probably go 1 to 2 inches or more in some areas. It's going to be a good amount of rain in most locations.
And then if you could turn your attention to China very quickly and tell me about corn planting progress and what kind of weather and climate they've been having as they make their way through the early part of their season.
Well, not unlike what's happening here. Temperatures have been averaging a bit below normal, will continue to below normal across many of the growing areas of China, and rain chances look to be pretty good. We don't see an excessively wet areas, but the constant threat of shower activity in many of the growing areas of China will be around as well. So their situation very similar to ours.
Don, anything else to add before I let you go?
A little dry in Europe and in Russia.
Don, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
That's today's edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a very safe afternoon, and be careful out there on the planter if you're putting corn or soybeans in the ground. I'm Todd Gleason.